Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan on this Friday, October 15, 2021. South Sudanese lawmakers at the East African Legislative Assembly are protesting recruitment process at the regional bloc's main office in Arusha, Tanzania.
And even those 14 members, they are competing with other, it's not like a guarantee thing. So if we follow this method of recruitment, in the end, we'll only have one or two people, or even three.
And doctors at Juba Teaching Hospital have called off their strike.
The money is better. What is delaying it now is the registration and verification of the names of those that are working in the hospital.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese lawmakers at the East African Legislative Assembly are boycotting sessions to protest recruitment process at the East African Community Secretariat. The lawmakers say East African community leaders should include South Sudanese nationals in recruitment at the main office in Arusha. For VOA News, Mungume Davis Rokaringe reports from Kampala.
South Sudanese lawmakers stormed out of the East African Legislative Assembly on Tuesday in a protest of what they say is an unfair recruitment process at the ESC Secretariat. They say they want the whole process revamped to ensure fair representation from all member states. Annie Ito is the head of ESC South Sudan chapter. She says during the latest recruitment process, only 14 out of 100 applicants from South Sudan were shortlisted for jobs at the East African Community Secretariat in Arusha, Tanzania.
And even those 14 members, they are competing with other, it's not like a guarantee thing. So if we follow this method of recruitment, in the end, we'll only have one or two people, or even three. And there's going to be no other recruitment, maybe for 5 years, even 10 years. And we felt that this was very, very unfair.
Gabriel Garang is another South Sudanese representative at the East African Legislative Assembly.
This process must stop. It should not go ahead. It should not go ahead. Because South Sudan is completely out of the employment. We have not been given anything, completely. There's nothing that is given to South Sudan. And I want to tell East Africans, and South Sudanese in particular, we are with you. Do not doubt us, your representatives. This is our job. We are doing our part. So the current process is against us. It is injustice.
Garang says the current recruitment process should be abolished and the ESC should start over from scratch. According to ESC rules and principles, all citizens from member states are to enjoy the same recruitment and opportunities. The top competitive jobs at the ESC Secretariat include those of Registrar and the Deputy Registrar, which are supposed to be on rotation basis. Other jobs are in the fields of accounting, human resource, fisheries and administration, among others. Ugandan lawmakers at the East African Legislative Assembly have joined the boycott and are also claiming unfair recruitment process. Ito says Kenya and Tanzania take the lion's share of vacancies at the East African Secretariat.
We came here to represent all the partner states. If this injustice is on Burundi, we have a right, because that is the basis on which we are representing here. We will not just fight for South Sudan, we'll fight for every partner state until we get fair and equitable process that will guarantee any East African opportunity to work in the ESC.
Ito says South Sudanese lawmakers will put forward a motion to debate the matter when they return to the House next week. Some analysts say such a disagreement are typical of the ones that led the collapse of the old ESC in the 1970s. The East African Community is a regional intergovernmental body comprised of the Republic of Burundi, the Republic of Kenya, the Republic of Rwanda, the United Republic of Tanzania, the Republic of Uganda, and the Republic of South Sudan. Its headquarters are in Arusha, Tanzania. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Doctors at Juba Teaching Hospital say the government has agreed to address their demands and improve working conditions. Medical workers called off their strike following an intervention by Vice President Hussein Abdelbaghi. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Dr. Lual Diak, who is a member of the Health Workers Committee at Juba Teaching Hospital, says a doctor at Juba Teaching Hospital resumed their work after they have reached an agreement with authorities. Vice President Abdul Baghi assured the doctors their demands would be met. Dr. Diak says directly after the meeting, the government began the process to pay doctors their COVID-19 allowance and issue contracts to all interns at Juba Teaching Hospital.
The money is ready. What is delaying it now is the registration and verification of the names of those that are working in the hospital. So it is not at their part now, but definitely on the part of those who are working. Because you need to know the number of people that are working and you need to verify them. Are they within the hospital or some are out? Because people take opportunities when they hear that there is something.
Dr. Diak says the government also agreed to address doctors' demand for accommodations. He says most individuals who are occupying doctors' quarters in Juba are not doctors. He tells South Sudan in Focus that illegal occupants of doctors' quarters have been given 24 hours to evacuate peacefully. During the meeting with Vice President Abdul Baghi, Juba Teaching Hospital administrators complained about high cost of paying electricity and water bills, which they say prevents them from providing necessary service to the health workers. Dr. Diak says Abdul Baghi reassured hospital administrators he would work hard to try to exempt the hospital from paying electricity and water bills. He also says the health ministry has started issuing ID cards and contracts to all interns who are referred to as house officers.
I'm happy to inform you that the ministry is working on it. They have started issuing IDs and the names of house officers to be sent to them. Actually, we are busy, but they would have done it within the week. But hopefully next week, every IGA will be issued with a contract.
The doctor's representative says the government also agreed to address the doctor's demand for a better working environment at the hospital. Dr. Diak says his colleagues are optimistic the government will improve their working conditions so that they will not need to call for a strike in the future. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Mundri.
Authorities in the Greater Pibor administrative area say residents are feeling the impact of the withdrawal of aid agencies from the area. The area's information minister says several health facilities, including Pibor Hospital, have been shut down and people have become vulnerable due to lack of healthcare services. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
The United Nations Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs evacuated 78 aid workers, including three international staff, more than a week ago after young people in the area threatened to attack aid workers who hail from other parts of South Sudan if they did not leave within 72 hours. The youth accused some aid workers of occupying positions that should have gone to local community members and demanded that local and international humanitarian groups hire 80% of their workforce from the local community. J. Adingoro Alwal, Information Minister for the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, says after aid workers were evacuated, Pibor Hospital, the main health facility in the area, had no doctors.
The humanitarian situation in Greater Pibor after all the NGOs have left the area is now worse because most of the services that were provided by the organizations are no longer there, especially in health sector. When you look at it, the situation is now critical because the Pibor hospital is closed. And there is no any activity going on there in terms of health. That means all these patients have nowhere to go for treatment.
Alwal says several other health facilities which had been supported by the NGOs were also closed. Alwal says Pibor Area Chief Administrator Lokali Amer urged young people in a meeting last Saturday to refrain from threatening the NGOs, advising them instead to ask for rights in a peaceful manner.
Whenever you need to raise your complaint, you need to go using right procedures where you come to the government so that this issue is addressed. Actually, when we talk about 80% employment of the national National does not mean only the people, the local people in the area. It means whoever from South Sudan who is eligible.
Juma Luduth, a youth representative in Pibor, says the youth leadership has reached an agreement with the local government for the return of humanitarian organizations to the area, but says young people do not regret the threats they made against NGOs.
All humanitarian organizations that were operating here in Greater Pibor will just come, and except those who their names were appearing in the list will not come back to Pibor for operation. But the rest of the staff whose names were not appearing, they are free to come. Humanitarian organizations are free to come. Nobody has chased them. They are free to come to Pibor.
Alwal says the huge gap in healthcare still exists after NGOs left because the government could not afford to hire qualified doctors due to the low salary scale. He says government authorities will protect humanitarian agencies and urges them to return to Greater Pibor to save lives. Alwal says waterborne diseases are increasing in the area due to recent flooding and worries that more lives will be lost if there is no intervention.
They need to come and help these elderly people who are not able to do anything, women and children who cannot do anything, who cannot even help themselves. So they need to come so that these people are saved from the situation where they are in.
Pibor resident Peter Ligo says the community currently has no access to relief aid, including food, water and medicines, and confirms that many people in the area are suffering from waterborne diseases caused by the recent floods.
The right NGOs, which always supply the people, NSF. NSF, they evacuate from Pibor to Jebel Buma. Now they are now doing their activities in eastern part of the GPA. Normally, those who are there in eastern part, they have no any problem. Those who are in Pibor, they have the condition of health. The situation regarding the health and whatever is a bit terrible.
The humanitarian coordinator at Interim in South Sudan, Matthew Hollingworth, issued a statement strongly condemning the latest threat against humanitarian organization in the Greater Pibor administrative area. He says the latest threat by young people could impact the provision of critical services to more than 100,000 of the most vulnerable people in the Greater Pibor administrative area. Since the start of the year, young people have issued threats against humanitarian workers and have demanded employment in parts of South Sudan, including Reng in Upper Nile State and Taurit in Eastern Equatorial State. The threats or attacks led to the suspension of humanitarian activities and the relocation of workers. For VOA News, I am Deng Guiding, reporting in Bor, Jonglei State.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese lawyers petition the transitional government. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
describe a perfect day.
A perfect day is when I wake up in the morning without any challenges. I have my family around me. I go to work, come back without any mishaps or difficulties or any hangovers.
A perfect day for me would be a day without any stress, without traffic, without any sickness, without any pertinent need. That would be a perfect day for me.
My perfect day when I get off and then I come out, I do all my assignment in the office or in the other aspect of my curriculum activities.
Maybe watch a movie so I could fall asleep, you know, just watch something for laughs, a comedy, and that's just my typical perfect day.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. A group of Sudanese rights activists and lawyers in the capital Khartoum have petitioned the military component of the transitional government to adhere to the terms of the constitutional document and hand over leadership to the civilian as stipulated in the power-sharing agreement. The lawyers warn military leaders against trying to sideline civilian leaders in the government. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Hundreds of Sudanese lawyers and rights activists organized a peaceful march to the presidential palace in Khartoum on Thursday. They carried banners that read, "Hand over power to civilians." Sudanese security forces prevented the lawyers and activists from entering the grounds of the presidential palace. The lawyers say they are concerned that a little more than 2 years into the transitional period, the government has yet to form a legislative council to oversee the performance of the executive and hold the leaders accountable for their actions. The lawyers are demanding that a chief justice and attorney general be appointed immediately and that a constitutional court and judicial council be established. They say the current transitional government has done little to ensure justice for the victims of crimes committed before, during, and after the transitional period. Speaking to reporters in Khartoum, lawyer and rights activist Nasruddin Yusuf says the transitional government cannot continue to operate lawfully in the absence of legislative council and other key judicial organizations that are supposed to help ensure justice is served during this period.
All of these issues are overlapping and their absences will definitely affect the implementation of the revolution's slogans, freedom, peace and justice. If a true justice has not been achieved, it will also affect in achieving freedom and peace.
On Tuesday, Sudanese lawyers associations launched a legal mechanism aimed at supporting the democratic transition in the country and to legally oppose any moves intended to interrupt the transition. Khalid Al-Amin read out the lawyers' petition, which warned the military leaders against trying to interrupt the smooth transfer of power from military to civilian rule.
It should be clear to the military component of the sovereign council that they are bound by the requirements of the constitutional document and they cannot abandon it for any reason. Democracy and good civilian governance is a red line. Many Sudanese have sacrificed their lives for it through this revolution.
The Sudanese military and various civilian forces agreed in August 2019 to share power. Under the agreement, the military component would lead the country for 21 months, followed by civilian rule for an 18-month period. Military and civilian leaders in the government continue to trade accusations over who was responsible for last month's alleged failed coup attempt. The head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, and his deputy, Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, have accused some of their civilian partners in the government of neglecting their executive role of service delivery while bickering over top leadership positions. Al-Amin says any attempt to unlawfully extend the military leadership will be challenged in a court.
We will not stand with our hands folded without defending the civilian rule and the democracy. And we will never allow our people to be governed by an authoritarian rule once again. By law, we will continue to defend this country and work for democracy, civilian and good governance at all costs.
Lawyer Nawal Guseisa says it is unlawful to run a country for nearly 3 years without a proper justice system in place. She says the Sudanese people deserve to have a democratic government guided by the rule of law. A government that will institute reforms and compensate citizens for their sacrifices during the revolution.
Building justice system, reforming the rights system, promoting women's rights in all social, economic, and political fields, and abolishing laws that restrict freedoms so that we are able to build a just and an equitable state of law through an independent judiciary.
The lawyers called on the civilian component of the government to work within the framework of the constitution in order to achieve the objectives of the transition period. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Tell us how you feel about issues in our news. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. We heard from several listeners this week lodging complaints about the government's performance, but we also heard from a few of you who praised certain South Sudanese lawmakers. Mading Malwal Alwong from Malakal Town says, "To all suffering young South Sudanese, just know that our own government never did anything for the past 10 years because we as the people decided to give absolute power to our leaders, who ended up abusing their power. It's my expectation that in the coming days, months and years, we the people will claim back our power." Gwet Kong Mabiel from Lair County Unity State says, "I am wondering why Salva Kiir is still intransigent on implementing peace. He went to the Vatican in 2019 with Dr. Riak and their feet were kissed by the Pope. Should he not honor what the Pope had done and what he told them? He should honor when an 80-something-year-old man of God kneels down to kiss their feet. This is a big lesson worth learning and cannot be forgotten. Let the president implement peace, because South Sudanese who are suffering have reached a point which is beyond repair. Thanks, VOA." Mal Adao Mal in Bortown says, "Hello, John and Nabil. I am impressed to hear our own qualified parliamentarians at the East African Parliament talking of EAC court jurisdictions to be applied in member states, especially in South Sudan, which I believe is a laboratory for corruption. Just take the case of Jonglei State, where the chairman of the Anti-Corruption Commission resigned 3 weeks ago. You can imagine the level of corruption in Jonglei." Emma Ben from Iswinga Yumbe writes, "We South Sudanese refugees in Uganda need real and permanent peace in South Sudan so that we can return to our country and stay there as normal like the one before without conflict." Jacob Mayen from Awerial County of Lake State says, "My pleasure goes to General Rin Twen Mabor for making sure that our communities are in peace. I am calling on other governors to make sure people are in peace in their respective areas. At least we can breathe as people of Lake State. Thank you, John, for your update." Emmanuel Akol Aro from Juba writes, "In regards to rampant snake bites in flood-affected areas of Jonglei State, Unity State and Warab State, I'm appealing to the Minister of Health and other health partners operating in South Sudan to rescue the most vulnerable people by taking anti-snake venoms closer to the accessible areas. Snake bites have high risk of death and disability if not treated early. Therefore, it should be good for the drugs to be available closer to the people who are exposed to environments inhabited by snakes." Daniel Dud Dagbai from Ragmajok says, "Let alone that officials detected 15 forged certificates during general admission into public universities in South Sudan. There are countless numbers of forged certificates which are blocking real certificates when applying for a job. Call on all NGOs and UN agencies and government institutions to use detector machines for the verification of certificates during shortlisting in order to avoid recruiting academic underage people into the jobs available." Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Block 3 Bor says, "Evicting former state officials in Juba is a good move. The national government should also take this move and make sure that those occupying both government-owned buildings and hotels must leave with immediate effect. Kudos to Governor Adil. Your move shows patriotism towards the nation." Robert Nyombe in Kazangati says, "Hello VOA, thanks for the show. It always feels nice being informed by our own John Tanza about the current affairs within and outside South Sudan. However, I suggest that the program should run from Monday to Sunday. Otherwise, many thanks to the team." Jacob Dior Machweng from Euro Lake State says, "The assassination attempt on the Western Equatoria State Information Minister was a slap in the face of justice in South Sudan. I thought the killing of former County Commissioner of Tombora would alert the state government. Western Equatoria has been a peaceful state since the creation of this country, but why is it falling apart now? The politicians who come from there must sit and find a lasting solution." Saber Isaac Hamiz in Entebbe, Uganda says, "The reconstituted transitional government must look into the issue of salary structures for all South Sudanese working at different sectors, including private companies like oil companies, because there is a lot of malpractice occurring that is confirmed by experts, mostly around payment scales." John McCair in Juba writes, "Hello VOA, I appreciate the government of Lake States led by General Rin Twen Mabor, for he has welcomed IDPs who recently came from Rumbek East, Akot in Unity State, and Panijar. Peace has come." Nicholas Taban Daniel in Nyepo Payam says, "Hi John Tanza, congratulations for your focus. We are sorry government officials who are handling high positions provide their relatives with guns to displace people, looting people's goats and cattle. Does the government belong to the cattle keepers? Do we have the governor working for us? If so, he should open his eyes about the issue of cattle in Kajukeji County." Mabor Alatrengo from Rumbek Lake State says, "Flood victims who arrive from Mayom Payam of Unity State to settle at Akot Payam of Rumbek East in Lake States have been received warmly by the indigenous. This shows that we, the people of Lake State, are known for our good reputation. I thank our able Governor General Rin Tueng Mabor, who went with the partners on Friday last week to assess their situation." Lokang Johnson James in Uganda's Adjumani district says, "I am requesting my leaders to come together and bring peace in South Sudan. I would love to come back home and study." John Machar from Arua City says, "My appeal to South Sudanese leaders is to focus on security arrangements that seem to have blocked the peace deal of revitalized peace agreement in the country. The country's leadership should stand firm in collaboration with humanitarian agencies to address the challenge of flooding, which has left hundreds of thousands of civilians stranded in parts of Jongule, Malakal, Bantu, and Bahar Ghazal states as a result of a combination of rain and River Nile." Malwalda Machok from Juba says, "Hello John Tanza and Nabil. The issue of the oil company employees' strike is a national security threat which should not fall on deaf ears because it will lead to a shutdown of production. It's very clear that the Council of Ministers has approved the Unified Manual policies, but it seems there are some people who are sabotaging the manual. I wish the president would intervene." Kata from a Uganda refugee camp writes, "Hi VOA, allow me to say sorry for the President of the Republic of South Sudan and all the politicians. It won't be long before you see your citizens are washed by rain outside while you as the father and mother, including your neighbors and children, are inside. How do you feel really? God is watching our suffering. He will answer one day." And finally, Peter Dunia Cosmas from the Mvepi Refugee Settlement in Arua, Uganda says, "Hello VOA presenters. Thanks for letting us know about what is going on in our country. You are doing great work. May God bless you and your family." The views expressed here do not reflect the views of this program or of VOA. We appreciate hearing what you think. Keep those comments coming.
Keep those comments coming. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We reserve the right to read your brief comments every Friday. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you in a dancing mood with Diamond and his latest song, Samia Suluhu.
Tanzania ya mama Samia inang'ara ng'ara.
Tanzania ya mama Samia inang'ara ng'ara.
Tanzania ya Suluhu Hassan mama yameremeshwa.
Tanzania ya mama Samia inang'ara ng'ara.
Muona mama Mataifa wawekezaji za chini kwetu anafika. Demokrasi siasa ya kuridhisha, biashara wona zinauzika. Zinampenda haki
Samia,
uonevu wata mikopo elimu kaweka safi, mashule kwa zanati
Samia.
Kapingo zile kodi zote siso halali, vina uhuru sasa vyombo vya habari. Sote kesi za uonevu kafuti ya bali. Kapunguza faini za boda boda, sasa mambo shwari. Tanzania ya mama Samia inang'ara ng'ara.
Tanzania ya mama Samia inang'ara ng'ara.
Tanzania ya Suluhu Hassan mama.
We have been listening to Diamond Platinum and the song Samia Suluhu. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.